Hello, and welcome to the 404 Media Podcast, where we bring you unparalleled access to hidden worlds, both online and IRL. 404 Media is a journalist-founded company and needs your support. To subscribe, go to 404media.co. As well as other bonus content, subscribers can hear us answer their questions in future podcasts. Ask us anything you want on podcast at 404media.co. I'm your host, Joseph, and with me are 404 Media co-founders Sam Cole.
Hey.
Emmanuel Mayberg.
Hey, what's up?
And Jason Kebler. We're back to the normal order of me introducing people.
I didn't know that there was a normal order, but I am always last, so that's correct.
Well, it's the default order in the Google Doc. And speaking of Google, basically this entire episode is going to be dedicated to a series of stories that we've done on Google in various different ways. There'll still be a subscriber-only section at the end. That'll be about something else. But the majority of the show is going to be about this. It's going to be pretty free-flowing, but let me just start with a headline, and I guess we'll go from there, right? So one of these articles was, Google News is boosting garbage AI-generated articles. Jason, do you want to explain how we first learned about this? It was a tip, right? I think maybe you got and then I took over.
Yeah, so there is a guy on Threads named Brian Penny who is definitely worth a follow. He has just been following AI news very, very closely and is in a bunch of like Facebook groups that follow AI news and is just generally very interested in this topic. He is the person who told me about all the fake AI images being generated on Facebook that people think are real that I did, you know, at the end of last year.
Yes.
And he told us like, hey, I'm seeing all these AI generated news stories in Google News. Mm-hmm. And there are essentially two ways of interacting with Google News that I know of, at least. You can go to news.google.com and search there for anything. It'll like have headlines. And then the other way, which I think is probably the more standard way, is when you search for something, there's a news tab at the top that'll show you like recent articles. And then sometimes there's like little boxes at the top that will have news articles in it.
Right. And that's really important for news outlets like who may cover artificial intelligence. So when somebody Googles artificial intelligence and it hits the news tab, hopefully they will be seeing that outlet's articles about AI. Right.
Yeah. I think it's pretty difficult to overstate how important it is to show up in Google News and to show up like in these little boxes. It's like, I don't have hard numbers in front of me, but when we were at Motherboard, it's like when we had something hit, like quote unquote hit on Google News around like a topic that people were searching, we would get like hundreds of thousands of views from Google News alone. And it's like one of the few ways that still exist to like quickly generate tons of interest in a story or tons of traffic on a story. Basically, it's just like, it's very important to be in Google News. It's very hard to get onto Google News. And then like the ranking algorithm within Google News is complicated and I don't understand it.
Well, nobody does. It's an opaque system, right? Like it's, just to give a little bit of insight in that, we are sort of on Google News, but also not, in that there is sort of a sign up process and we do appear as an outlet on there, but we don't appear if you search for, you know, as I said, artificial intelligence or even one of the specific companies we've investigated. We will not appear in that search. Other media outlets aggregating our news will do, which is, I don't know, just interesting. And that's sort of in what is one way or one reason that Brian reached out to us, because he was like, look, you guys aren't even in Google News, and yet here's this AI-generated garbage, basically, in the service. And some of the examples he pointed to, there was a site called examiner.com and Watchdog Wire. And basically, the long and the short of it is, we dug into it, and it looked like that these were doing AI ripoffs of another website called Watcher.Guru. And, you know, I spoke to Watcher.Guru and they suspected AI. I actually ended up speaking to the company behind Examiner.com, and they they just admitted, yes, we're using AI to generate articles. Like, they didn't even try to hide it. And then there was another one that was ripping off a CBC article as well. They were, you know, very low quality. I think one of them, I can't remember which outlet it was specifically, but instead of saying Star Wars fans when it was writing some sort of AI generated text about Star Wars, it said War of Star Fans or something like that. I mean, complete rubbish, right?
Yeah, that website was called worldtimetodays.com. And it's like, so just for some context, it's like, if you clicked into this website, I think that anyone who has a general sense of reading the news would immediately detect, like, this is a super low quality website, just because, one, it's in the English language, which is, like, nominally there should be full English sentences, etc., but there's like a bunch of headlines that have broken English that like use really bad grammar that are just essentially illegible. It has like a super templatized design. It has a ton of pop-up ads, which all run on Google Ads for what it's worth. And then the entire page is just like littered with ads. It's like ad, like hundreds of them. It has like an infinite scroll of Google ads,
right?
Which some news sites do have tons of ads on, but it's like this one feels more like a, you know, ad farm than anything else. And then if you like click in through into the supposed writers, there's this guy like Gary Graves who is writing like between 25 and 40 articles per day.
He's working really, really hard, like harder than any human writer I've ever met. You know,
I could do it.
Yeah. Yeah.
You definitely could.
I mean, throwing back to like the blogging days of what, 2010, 2011, something like that. I mean, of course, it's not as frequent as this, but yes, it became apparent pretty quickly that this wasn't a real guy. That seems to be the case, right, Jason?
Yeah, and I think I can only speculate here, and we're going to do more reporting on it, but it's like they're ripping off specific websites that are easily identifiable. They're stealing from heavy.com, which is, I don't know if anyone knows anything about Heavy. I have nothing but, I don't know, respect for Heavy. I don't really know that much about how they operate. But Heavy is like the website that when there's a mass shooting, they try to identify the shooter and then immediately be like, here's everything you need to know about the shooter. Whenever there's like any sort of news event, it's like man arrested in Wisconsin, who was his wife? And it's just like SEO type stuff, but it's done by humans. And that's like very hard and thankless work. I don't know whether it's necessary work, but it's certainly thankless. And it's very difficult. It's difficult to like do that sort of thing. But anyways, they were taking like the exact SEO headlines from Heavy, the ones that show up on Google, and they were using that. They were also using the exact same photos that Heavy was using with the Heavy watermark on them. So they were,
I mean, that's just stealing. That. It's just stealing.
Yeah, they're just stealing. And then they were also publishing the articles like 1 to 2 minutes after Heavy published them, which suggests that the entire thing is automated, as in like it's scraping Heavy and publishing them immediately. There's no lag time here.
Yeah. It's good you brought up scraping, because something that some people said, and I totally agree with, is that, you know, scraped content on Google News or obviously the internet writ large is not a new thing, and that I totally agree with. You know, I've dealt with people just ripping off my work for years and years and years. It's different here because AI, it's very quick. Obviously scraping as quickly is quick as well, but this can regurgitate in a way that scraping can't, when scraping is just a carbon copy, right? That, and AI even though we can call it see through the bullshit, it kind of gives you plausible deniability, like a tiny little bit. It's like, well, I didn't scrape it, you know, I wrote it, and we can find holes and poke through them as well. But there is something different here with the introduction of AI, I think.
Yeah, so I've been doing some additional research, and you know, this was your story, but I was doing some research before and kind of doing some research after. And there's this, it's like called dark SEO, which is when you do like scammy, sometimes illegal, but definitely like sketchy things to juice Google results. And in the field of dark SEO, there's something called article spinning, which is where you scrape the article and then you run it through a program, and it basically generates like hundreds of versions of that article that are all slightly different. And the way that it used to work was it would just pick like every third word and change it to a different word. And it would use like a thesaurus like plugin to do it. And it's like, I would argue that that's basically, it's like a version of AI. It's certainly automation. But what I've noticed is that in recent months, all of these article spinners are advertising like AI features, essentially, where it's like, we're going to do a better job of evading plagiarism detectors and like spam detectors by essentially like changing more of the article while theoretically like not losing the meaning. Although there's a lot of meaning loss in some of these articles. If you read them, it's doing really bad things like changing people's quotes, which is super, super bad.
That's almost worse, right?
Well, at that point you're going from plagiarism to like disinformation, depending on what you're changing. Right. And then, yeah, it's like a lot of them are just basically like they're supercharging what they were doing at some point with AI in a way that seemingly Google isn't nearly as able to detect, I guess, or possibly this is something that's been going on for a really long time, but people are starting to notice it now because of the broader AI discussion.
Yeah. Well, as for Google's position, so we do our piece, and I encourage people obviously to go read the original article so I don't have to explain every single detail. But the long and short of it is that we show there are AI-generated articles in Google News. I think that's very interesting in and of itself. Google's statement was, and then this is another aspect which I found fascinating and wild, I'll say. The statement was, quote, "Our focus when ranking content is on the quality of the content rather than how it was produced. Automatically generated content produced primarily for ranking purposes is considered spam, and we take action as appropriate under our policies," end quote. The first part of that says they focus on the quality rather than how it was produced. In other words, Google does not have a problem with AI content in and of itself being on Google News, which maybe they've said that before. It took me aback. You know, what do people think about that?
Yeah, I mean, how it was produced, I'll just point out also, like, it could cover AI, but could also cover just a content farm that is very cheaply and lazily reproducing other better articles, which is, I think, Joseph, what you were referring to, that you're familiar with, and we're all familiar with, because we're intimately familiar with SEO and how important it is to discoverability, because it's key to our business. You know, I don't want to put, you know, too fine a point on it or like make this seem worse than it is, but we're doing this in the middle of like another gigantic wave of layoffs in media, and 4-4 Media itself is, you know, kind of the result of us trying to find a different, better way to do journalism. And without a doubt, like, a major problem that we had at Vice was, you know, SEO and like visibility on Google, because that's how we get traffic and that's how you sell ads and so on. And I don't know, maybe this is a bit of a tangent, but I guess it's like the core issue here for me is that Google has this incredibly useful search product, like hard to compare it to anything else on the internet. It's like a piece of internet infrastructure that we all use, indexing the internet, been around for decades now. We all use it daily, and it's a clearly useful, essential part of the internet. And then another huge part of its business is ads, and specifically programmatic ads. And it seems to me like you just have these contradictory interests of those, like that product and that business. And we saw, you know, in media how that kind of like it hollowed out the business in a way, right? Because it's like you have this incentive to do whatever it is as cheaply as possible to get eyeballs because you can sell programmatic ads against that. But the gaming of the system devalues the search product. And we saw it happen in news and was very detrimental to news. But I think the difference now, and by the way, the AI stuff, I think the first time that I personally edited a story at Motherboard about an AI product that's specifically designed to spin up SEO and specifically designed to spin up SEO, not for people, but for like Google's crawlers, right? It's like it's generating content for an automated system that reads it. So it will rank higher. So people will accidentally click on it so they can collect ad dollars. It's like completely empty content, just gaming the system. So that was like 2017. The difference is now, like that in 2017, that was like a small startup with like three computer scientists who like design an algorithm that can generate that content. But now everybody has access to it. It's like incredibly easy to generate thousands and thousands of articles to flood the internet. And I think we're seeing, and this kind of like, I think bleeds into the next story. It's like it devalued media and it kind of like hurt media a lot. But I think just like the inherent contradiction between the ad business and the quality of the search product is reaching a point where it's like, it is actually destroying Google itself.
Right.
You know, it's like, it's starting with news and we're seeing it happen in news, but it's going to creep in unless they do something or unless like we decide to regulate or like we find different business models. It's hollowing out the value of Google itself.
We'll talk about the search story after the break. Before we move on to that, just briefly, Jason, we get that statement from Google. We publish our article about Google News. Google has an interesting response, I would say, after the article. What exactly did they do and what did they say? Maybe don't belabor the point because it was a lot of tweets and a lot of posts, but like, what do they do and sort of what was their issue?
Yeah, so there is a guy who works at Google called Danny Sullivan. He's been there for a long time. He's like famous in the search world.
Former journalist.
Yeah, and he tweeted at me on Twitter, on Mastodon, on Threads, on Blue Sky, everywhere I put this, and basically was like, he took issue with one of our examples, the World News Today's example, and said that like one of the screenshots we included showed essentially that like for this to show up in Google News, it has to be time limited to only like the last 24 hours, which is really interesting because news happens. Like the time scale of news is very quick. So I would argue that that's a problem sort of regardless. And it's like, we can't show up there. We have no one to appeal to. It's very difficult for us. We're humans making news, blah, blah, blah. And he sort of said to the point that you're not on Google News. It's like, we have this sort of time. There's essentially like an algorithm that determines whether or not Google thinks that you're news and that you should be ranking in Google News. And I'm not going to pretend to know the ins and outs of it because there's entire industries and jobs like associated with this, but it's like, it has something to do with how consistently you publish and for how long you publish and so on and so forth. And we can talk about this in a second, but what I would argue is like, here we are four people publishing like reported stories that other outlets are linking to, which is part of SEO. It's like the inbound links coming to your article. But we're only able to do that like once or twice or three times a day. Like we are only able to write a few articles a day because we're humans and we have to eat and poop and stuff like that. It's like we just can't.
A severe limitation.
Yeah, severe limitation. And it's like we talk to people and we do research and we write the articles and we edit the articles and we fact check the articles and so on and so forth. What these, like, I have no doubt that Google is detecting a shitload of spam and excluding it from Google News. Like, I know that they're doing it. They must be doing that. You know, the internet is full of spam and it's, and a lot of it is removed. But what these things are able to do is they're able to do like the iterative process. Like, their only goal is to get traffic. And the best way to do that is to get it from Google. And so they are using AI to like iterate hundreds of times a day, if not thousands of times a day. These are only the websites that we've seen that have been able to like get through whatever process they have. And so it's like they're able to do this automated SEO essentially that any human is not able to do. And so anyways, Google is really mad. I super disagree with everything they said essentially. And I guess we can talk more about that in the context of search after.
Yeah. All I would add is that one of Google's criticisms was the word boosted. When I wrote that Google News is boosting these articles, and then they said something about, well, you know, they're not necessarily highly ranked. First of all, we did see them, the AI generated articles ranking above the real articles. So that's already wrong. But more importantly, I specifically wrote that Google News is boosting these AI ones in virtue of the fact that they're in Google News. That is boosting. This is a massive technology platform that anything it does, anything it touches is going to be amplified in some way. That's just how powerful Google is. And they're boosting it just in virtue of including these outlets. And then the New York Post also did their own article picking up on our stuff. And I think they found that some of their articles were ripped off as well.
Google took issue with one of our many, many, many examples and then tried to use that single example, which was also bad, to undermine the entire premise of the story. Which we can just like undermine what they're saying in 2 seconds. I can find an AI generated article on top of a clone. Like
right, it literally took seconds. It took seconds. Yeah. Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
The boosting thing is like, it's something companies do when they're caught, like this pedantic, like they have no other leg to stand on. So they're like, well, the headline, this word is not perfectly accurate to what's happening. We disagree with the definition of a word in your headline. It's like, you're just caught. Like, you just have nothing else to say that's useful other than, like, you know, you got us. It's such a tell when companies do that.
If they're trying to beat us by being pedantic, trust me, they picked the wrong person to be pedantic with. I obsess over every single word I put into an article to the detriment of probably our entire workflow. So like, you're not going to like out pedantry me, you know?
Yeah, like, it's definitely to the detriment of your friends and family, your relationships.
Oh, I know.
Your social standing.
Dude. It's a nightmare to edit me, I bet. But let's leave that there just for a minute. And then when we come back, we're going to talk more specifically about Google search. We'll be right back after this. All right, we are back. Jason, you wrote this article, which was based on some research, and then Google also had an issue with it. But the headline is, Google search really has gotten worse, researchers find. I mean, just first off, what did the research say exactly?
Yeah, so this was done by, I believe, three researchers in Germany at a variety of German institutes that I'm not going to even attempt to say. And they basically spent a year analyzing what Google returned for 7,392 different search terms. So they were like checking like multiple times, presumably a day, for over the course of a year on Google, on DuckDuckGo, and on Bing. And their broad findings were that the stuff that Google was consistently ranking higher had a lot of affiliate links, which is where the publisher is paid to like link to something, and they're not paid to link to something. Every time someone buys something using that link, they get a tiny percentage of what it is,
which incentivizes them in boosting it. Yeah,
and it's like not necessarily bad in and of itself. It's like Wirecutter, like, you know, Slick Deals, like a bunch of places on the internet that do good stuff have affiliate links. It's just like one indicator, but they were finding that affiliate links were like regularly ranking very high. Also sites with really high ad load, like a lot of ads were ranking high. And then they also found that, you know, there was pretty regularly like a lot of outright spam. And then they also said that they did like analysis of sort of the sites that kept showing up at the top. And they said that overall it had lower text quality, which is, they didn't get into how they determined that, but they were basically just like a lot of pretty shitty sites were showing up very high on search results.
So it's a pretty robust study. I mean, it sounds very, very in-depth over years, a massive amount of data, right?
So it was, in my opinion, this is something that
Google, and presumably the researchers, I would say.
Yeah. But they did. So they did focus it only on product reviews, like on, hey, I want to buy a vacuum cleaner.
Sure.
Like that. They focused it only on that, those types of searches. But they use it sort of as a proxy for Google as a whole.
Right.
I talked to them after. I didn't hear back from them right away because they were in Germany and the study was already going viral and it was a very thorough study. So I felt okay just like writing it up. But I followed up with them after the fact and I was like, hey, Google is saying, well, this only studied product recommendations and product reviews. What do you think of that? And they said that they can say that it extends to everything else, which is part of why they did the study, is because they saw a lot of people complaining on social media that Google results are getting worse. Like, it's just this pervasive feeling that Emmanuel alluded to, where it's like, search for something and I can't find it. It's like the entire reason that people now will say like best vacuum cleaner Reddit when they search on Google, because if you type best vacuum cleaner, you're going to get like a bunch of highly SEO'd websites and you're also going to get a bunch of ads. And this is actually the thrust of, not to totally change the subject, but this is the thrust of one of the FTC's antitrust suits against Amazon, is that like Amazon has devalued its own internal search by selling so many ads against it that when you type in iPhone cord, you're not shown, like if you type in Apple iPhone cord, you're not shown like Apple iPhone cord at the top. You're shown like a shitload of ads first, and it confuses people and it upsets people, but it makes them a lot of money. And I think what Emmanuel was bringing up earlier is very prescient and very correct here. It's like, I think everyone just has this sinking, like pervasive feeling that when you look for something on Google, it used to be that you found what you were looking for. And now you find like a bunch of stuff that are either ads or have figured out how to game the search rankings in such a way that you're just like frustrated.
Yeah. You briefly mentioned what Google said, which is, correct me if I'm wrong, basically, this was just about one part of our search engine. You can't extrapolate from that. Was that basically all that Google said? Was that like the thrust of their disagreement or?
No. So they, I mean, to be fair, and I was going to get to this, but it's like the researchers also found that DuckDuckGo and Bing are just as bad, if not worse.
Oh, interesting.
At removing this stuff. So it's like, search across all search engines more or less is having this issue. The reason I used Google in the head is because Google has something like 98% of all searches on the internet. I don't have the numbers in front of me, but it's like Bing, despite its ChatGPT integrations and blah, 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 it's like, it's tiny. DuckDuckGo is tiny.
It's not one-to-one. Like companies always like to complain and say, well, why are you singling us out? It's like, because you are the 800-pound gorilla of search, you know, compared to like a little mouse of Bing. I'm not trying to defend Microsoft, I'm not trying to defend Bing. I don't know why I'm getting on that horse, but yes, it's definitely not apples to apples.
Right. And there's also the researchers studied this over the course of a year, and there were periods within that year where the results got like quote unquote better. As in, it's not a linear, like Google is nosediving. It will be like someone in the, presumably in the SEO industry or like the entire spam economy, like figures out how to overwhelm Google. It fucks up all the search results. Then Google figures out how to get rid of them. So then Google gets better for a short period of time. Then it gets worse again. Then it gets better. Then it gets worse. Then it gets better. And it's like the overall general trajectory over the course of years is that it's getting worse. And like people can tell that just by virtue of being on the internet. But depending on the day, it's like Google is better today than it was yesterday. That can be the case depending. And so it's a little bit of a, like, it is a pedantic argument. It's like, well, we're better today than we were yesterday. So are we actually getting worse? And it's like, well,
over time,
like, yes. So they were a little mad about that, but not to the point where I was concerned about it, because it's like, I talked to the researchers and they're like, people can tell this. They say, like, we're fully aware of the overall sentiment that supposedly Google as a whole has gotten worse over time. They write about that AI. We believe AI will only exacerbate the problem. They're like really, really concerned about this. And I think reporting on this, I really freaked myself out, because it's like, I'm pretty concerned as a human who wants people to be able to find our stuff on the internet. I don't know how y'all feel, but it's like when I go to try to buy something and I just see a zillion ads and I'm like, I can't find this. And when I try to find my own article and I type in my own headline and I can't find it, I'm like, oh, how is anyone ever going to like find my little blog somewhere, you know?
Can either of you imagine like a post Google internet, or like a Google with some sort of like new layer that somehow deals with this problem?
No. I just can't. Like, I would just want search to be better, right? Like what are you getting there? Are you getting that there needs to be something fundamentally new added on to Google, or something fundamentally new created, or we just need to improve what we already have? I mean, what are you getting at?
I think the reason that everybody, there's like two things that people go to as an alternative to Google, or a way to kind of help filter Google results. One is like the TikTok thing, which I don't know if you guys heard this before, but people kind of just search for stuff on TikTok rather than Google it. I'm skeptical of how useful this is, but I certainly understand the sentiment, because what you're seeking out is like actual human beings saying something about a topic or product or whatever it may be.
Same as what Jason said about Reddit. Yeah.
And that's the thing about Reddit, right? So it's like, that is what people are like naturally figuring out. And like, I obviously always do. And all you're basically doing is kind of, you're basically searching Reddit for an answer that has been upvoted by human beings and has been found valuable by human beings. And I think that's kind of the direction we're going to now. Whether you are able to actually have a solution at the scale of a Google that has a human component, I don't know, but perhaps it's like Google introduces some sort of like AI agent, you know what I mean? That is doing some, it's like learning about your habits, it's learning about your searches, it's learning about your preferences, and it caters the results in that way.
I mean, maybe, but I don't have enough faith in the development of those products yet for that to be effective, right? Based on everything that we've reported about ChatGPT or whatever, right? So,
right. Also, as a side note, a thing that freaks me out is like, because Reddit is the solve right now for a lot of this, and there's like an imminent Reddit IPO coming, and that kind of freaks me out. Like, if Reddit goes public and it somehow fucks up like this incredibly valuable thing that it's built, and then we don't even have that solution.
Yeah, I mean, the Reddit blackout fucked up Google. you know, it's like, that's Reddit. You can't, these platforms are so precarious anyway. It's like Reddit could not exist at any moment. And we're relying so heavily on it to get information out of Google. I could see Google developing something and then making us pay for it. because the problem is it's free. So they need to make money off of the ads. So instead of this multi-billion dollar company actually providing a service that works and that people can use freely, you know, this is the solve for them.
It's funny you say that because I've been using Kagi.
Which
is a paid search engine for the last week. I've been experimenting with it, obviously, to write about the experience at some point. I like it so far, but I don't know that it's necessarily like that much different from Google right now. And it's like $10 a month. Its whole thing is like, we don't have ads. Their whole thing is like, Google makes $25 per user per year from ads, or maybe it's more than that. I don't have the number in front of me, but it's some like large amount of money per user per year. And they're like, we're just going to ask you to pay and we're not going to have ads. That said, it's like, it's any search engine is going to be automated. So in some way, so it can theoretically be gamed in some way, which is, it's like, just because something doesn't have ads doesn't mean that it's going to be good, I guess. So that's what I'm testing. I've been using it for a week. I haven't found myself being like, I need to go Google this, except for when I've been trying to do things like find a Google cached site, like a former version of a site. It like doesn't have things like that built into it, which is, you know, Google has like so many different services that all integrate with each other. And the second you like rip one of those out, it's like, well, we're fucking up your experience. I'm using Chrome right now. I was using Opera for many years, but I moved back to Chrome.
Wow.
And I know, for reasons we don't need to talk about, but it's like, when I use Kagi, if I open an incognito window, I was trying to like wipe all my cookies and just use like a clean browser slate and search something. And Kagi was like, well, you have to log in because you're in an incognito window. And it's like, I need to give you my username and password to do a search. I'm not logged into my password manager. And it's like that friction. I was like, okay, well, this is not ideal. Yeah.
I will say, on the other side of it, not as like somebody who's searching for something, but as somebody who's making something on the internet and wants to be found. When you work in a big media company, the big media company pays an SEO advisor to come in and sort of teach you all the tricks of the moment for SEO. And we have done that, or at least heard those people talk to us for many years. And it's like, they come in one day and they're like, oh, in the first 90 words of an article, you need to have a link to this or that, or
I remember these meetings.
Subheads or use subheads. And it's like, you can only do that for so many years until you're like, well, fuck it. It's like, none of this works. It changes too fast. You know what I mean? It's like, there's people who, like, as we've just described, right? There's like an entire industry that's based on gaming the system. And it's like, that's not our focus. Our focus is doing journalism, publishing articles, and writing things that are interesting or entertaining. So there's not enough. I can't be like a professional SEO person. And it's like, I think personally, the way I'm thinking about it is like, I'm not super, it's like, I want to get on Google News. I want our stories to show up when people Google a subject that we're experts on and all of that. But I think what we're seeing and like the solution that we are arriving at is like, it is some sort of more human solution to the problem. It's like people recommending us, you know what I mean? People telling their friends, people subscribing to our newsletter and talking to us directly. And it's like that is how I think that is like a better solution for a business than trying to game the system.
Yeah.
And like the SEO thing makes me crazy anyway, in like an existential way, because it's like, we spend so much time trying to think like robots, and then we change the way we write to be more like the robots. So it affects, I mean, thank God at Vice, we didn't really, like, you guys didn't make us cater to these rules so heavily that it changed the the ethos of what we were doing. But a lot of, like, I've worked at many different content mills, content farms, and that's what you're doing. You're writing to cater to Google, to Facebook, to whatever it is. And it changes the way you write. And now it's like, we did that for so long that now the robots are eating everything that we've done anyway. Like, we taught it how to do that because it taught us how to do that. It's like this horrible Ouroboros of just AI shit. And like,
and it's what people hate. That's why they say Google is bad, because because that's what they're reading. They're reading SEO trash, and nobody wants that. It's just like, it's robots making shit for robots, and nobody wants that. Yeah.
So I will say that this, the big example is always recipes. It's like, why does every recipe blog have like 2,000 words about the chef's like childhood before it gets to the fucking recipe? And it's because of SEO. Like, that's why it exists. It's like,
and nobody nobody wants that.
One likes it. But then also, when you like criticize people for doing it, the recipe bloggers will say, like, we have to do this to exist, like, we have to, and so don't yell at us. And it's like, I'm super sympathetic to that argument, but it's like, they don't want to do it, the humans don't want to read it. It's like, I made a bolognese the other day with a TikTok recipe that I searched for on TikTok that I found in 1 second. And that, like, that's an example of me going to TikTok instead of Google. And I think that that's like why people say that they're stopping using Google, or that they're searching on TikTok, or Gen Z is on, like, searching for on TikTok. It's because when you search on Google, you get, as both of you said, you get either humans writing for robots or robots writing for robots. And increasingly, based on our reporting and based on like everything that we're seeing, all of the like industry stuff that I'm seeing, just like searching for how this shit is getting made, it's robots writing for robots on a scale that humans will never ever be able to do, that we have no interest in doing, and that like seemingly Google is not going to be able to police. Like, maybe there's some silver bullet at some point, but it's not even clear that they want to police it, because who the fuck is developing the AI? It's Google, Bard. It's right. Like DeepMind. It's OpenAI. It's Bing. It's like, this is not there. The incentives are not aligned in any way that like is good for us.
I think that ties back to Google's statement on the Google News story and why it really took me back. It's because them saying, well, we don't focus on whether it's generated by AI or not. And of course, as you say, that's because, you know, the interests here are not aligned necessarily.
Well, to disavow that would be to disavow, like, they have already put AI with Bard into their, into different Google things. And so I know I just ranted there for a second, and Emmanuel alluded to it. I don't know if it will be online by the time this podcast comes out or not, but it's like, we have begun sort of asking our readers to give us their email in a more aggressive fashion. And by that, I mean, we've started like putting a wall up where you have to register with your email address before you read our articles. And it's like, do we want to do that? Like, conceptually, do we want to do that? It's like, not really. I don't like having to log in to read stuff when I go to somewhere. But I think I personally see it as sort of an existential thing, because it's like, our articles were getting scraped and republished. I have like 20 different examples of our articles being stolen and republished by random websites that were definitely using AI. We had a little script. We had and have a script in our website that says, AI don't scrape us. But it's like, it's not getting scraped by OpenAI.
Right. It's just OpenAI. Yeah.
It's getting scraped by like random scrapers, of which there are thousands of them that I've gone and seen. And then they're stealing it and it's getting published. And unless we want to hyper SEO optimize our website by paying someone with money that we don't have to like make our site more palatable to the robots, it's like, a robot is going to immediately take our stuff and republish it in a way that is more palatable to the algorithms that are ranking it. So there's that aspect. Then there's the aspect where Joseph, you just published an amazing scoop. What did you do after you published the scoop?
Socialed it, put it on Twitter, that sort of thing.
So how do you social a story now?
I have to go to every single different platform, of which there is Twitter, there is Mastodon, there is Blue Sky, there is LinkedIn, there's Threads. That's five different ones I have to invest time in to write custom or near custom copy for each. Sometimes I copy and paste, but it's all decentralized. It's all over the place. Yeah.
Yeah. It's like when I did a FOIA story last week that had a lot of screenshots and stuff in it, I had to upload this. I had to do the thread in slightly different ways on five different platforms. It took me over an hour just to do that. And it's like, Lord knows if these social platforms are even going to be around tomorrow. And many of those are also being co-opted by the same dynamic that we're talking about here, where it's like AI generated bullshit. It's like engagement bait. It's whatever. You know, that's even like assuming we still want to post on Twitter, which is run by a psycho. So it's just like the fracturing of social plus like all of the spam on Google makes me very worried about the discoverability of our stuff. And to Emmanuel's point, it's like we want to be able to go directly to our readers, which means like we need people's email addresses. Like there's no real other way than saying it. It's like at the scale that we are at right now, without a massive SEO team, without like a shitload of money, nor the interest to invest in like improving our Google rankings or like re-engineering our website so that it's scraped by Google in the proper way. And Lord knows how long that would even work. It's like, we have to just like we have to write articles that we think other humans want to read and that other humans are going to want to share with people. And I think that basically requires us to like go directly to people. And the best way that I know to do that at any sort of scale is via email, like the email newsletters and emailing the stories to people and hoping that they share them, which is working and which we're happy that people are doing. And I don't know. It's like when people are like, oh, what are you trying to sell us? It's like the answer is we're trying to sell you our journalism by sending you things that we think that you will be interested in.
Yeah. And then maybe you'll become a subscriber and give us money as well so that we can continue to do what we're doing. But it's a lower form of friction than, you know, a New York Times paywall, a Bloomberg one, whatever it may be. But let's leave that there. And I'm really looking forward to your like more detailed write-up on it, because I think it will really put a lot of the media industry and Google and the social stuff all into one sort of overarching context. As for right now, if you're listening to the free version of this podcast, I'll now play us out. But if you're a paid subscriber, we're going to talk about a global phone spying tool that is monitoring billions. You can subscribe and gain access to that content at 404media.co. As a reminder, 404 Media is journalist-founded and supported by subscribers. If you wish to subscribe to 404 Media and directly support our work, please go to 404media.co. You'll get unlimited access to our articles and ad-free version of this podcast. You'll also get to listen to the subscribers-only section, where we talk about a bonus story each week. Another way to support us is by leaving a 5-star rating and a review for the podcast. That stuff really does help us out. This has been 404 Media. We will see you again next week.